I remember years ago when I was so excited finding out that I really could motivate myself to do whatever I wanted. And I never believed that because for years and years, I really believed that there was so many things wrong with me that there'd be no way I could ever really succeed at anything. But then I began to discover all sorts of things about the human brain, the human mind, and how motivation really happened. Well, these days, I get a lot of questions. How do I motivate myself to, do this or that? And I say there are 100 ways. And the reason I say there are 100 ways is because years ago, I really did come upon all different ways of motivating yourself. And they were used by various people. People would use all kinds of ways to motivate themselves. But here was the key thing. Motivation was under their control. In other words, in each of these instances, motivation wasn't coming from some outside deal. It was an inner choice to use something to motivate themselves. And I studied people, I studied books, I talked to people, I used myself as an experiment, and I wrote my first book, and it was called 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. The 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself was the result of years and years of my coming around, of my waking up, of my finally getting it, that as Nathaniel Brandon told me at one time, no one is coming. No one is coming to make money for you. No one is coming to live your life for you. No one is coming to solve your problems for you. And really, there's liberation in that. That's really good news, even though it sounded like horrible news at the start. It's like, oh my goodness, you mean I'm all alone? I'm out here in this world and I don't have the tools. I don't have the skill set to make a living, to create wealth, to produce prosperity, savings, financial security. How do I do that? I can barely stay sober. And so then my journey began. And I began to see that I could do that and that anybody can do that and that it's not frightening and it's not a big deal. And it's just like learning to play the guitar or the piano or dance or even like learning to walk or ride a bicycle. It's actually kind of fun when you learn how to do it. And it was designed to create fun, money and fun. Who would have put them together before? Who would have thought they went together? In most minds, they don't. In most minds, money and fear go together. Money fear. In fact, a lot of people, when I was doing seminars on Financially Fearless, we used the word money fear as a single word, and everybody knew what it meant. Even though there's no such word, everybody got right away, oh yeah, I feel that. Here's really the secret key about motivating yourself. As you read through the 100 different ways to motivate yourself, you start to realize that they all involve taking some kind of action, and none of them have anything to do with feeling like doing it ahead of time. And it gets pretty exciting because you begin to realize that I don't have to wait until the timing is right or until I'm enlightened or until the recession passes or any of that to create the life I want. I don't have to wait for anything. It all arises in this moment. So when I wrote 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, I was writing it to me. It was really like recapturing all the things that were working for me finally. Now, when I say finally, I really mean after 40-some years, I was finally getting this. So it's not as if I came out of the womb with a Boy Scout uniform on or that in my 20s I became a super achiever and I've acquired all this massive wealth, and now I'm going to reflect back and tell you how I did it. I was a real late bloomer, And it took almost forever to get the core idea that people could motivate themselves. In fact, that was the only way motivation really occurred, and that it was a good thing. It was simple and easier than it looked. So here's what I have to work with when I have a client who hires me to coach them on how to be more successful. If you sell yourself as a success coach, then of course you want your client to become more successful and then tell other people how that happened. Here's the biggest thing I have to work with, though. Most people believe that motivation comes from the outside. So if someone is underachieving, not making the money they want to make, not having the success they want, often they'll hire me or talk to me and say, "I want you to motivate me, and I want you to then hold me accountable for what I agree to do once I've been motivated to do it." And so I usually laugh at that point and say, "That's not what I'm going to do." And if you want someone to do that, I'm sure there are coaches who will do that. These coaches are accountability coaches and coaches who track you and monitor you and make sure you don't go wrong and you're not a bad boy or a bad girl and you do your homework and you pick up your room. And these are really parental type coaches. And parental type coaches have short-term value. If you have something you need to get done, a book that needs to be written, a project you need to do, or a job you want to get, a parental type accountability coach can keep you on track and make sure you don't go wrong and you don't lapse back into your normal patterns and habits. But if the coach is a transformative coach, then what that coach wants you to do is find out for yourself how to do this. Do it so that it becomes a new habit that you can rely on, and you won't need a coach anymore after that, unless you have new things you want to learn. But you don't have to be held accountable. I had a client recently say to me, "Why didn't you hold me accountable to that? Why did you allow me to not do it?" And I said, "That's not who I am. I'm not your parent. You're not bad. You're not lazy. There's nothing wrong with you." And so we worked with where motivation really comes from. The biggest problem clients have is they believe they need someone outside of themselves to make them do it. It's like Emerson says, we spend our whole lives looking for someone who will make us do what we secretly know we can do. And yet Nathaniel Brandon says no one is coming. So I'm caught here between a rock and a hard place. If my life's mission is trying to find someone who will get me to do what I know I can do, and yet no one is coming, that leaves me back at ground zero. Here's the illusion. People believe motivation occurs from the outside, that they must be somehow tantalized or the threat of punishment or the threat of reward has to be there for them to do anything at all. What they can't see at the outset, I mean, it's not like they're stupid. It took me 40 some years to finally see it. It's really, there's a conspiracy against them seeing it. And what they can't see is that motivation comes from the inside, not the outside. But once people see that it's an inside job, and that they have all the resources they need, then all of a sudden, life gets really fun. And people can then say, "Okay, how much money do I want to make? What kind of job would I like to have?" Now, most people don't even think that way. And because they don't think that way, they don't access their own resources, their own creativity. They're thinking like, "Who's going to give me a job? I've just lost my job. I've got to find someone who will give me a job." And so all the thinking is, the grown-ups have all the money. I now need to go out and find some grown-up with money to give me a job. And that puts me in a childlike state. That puts me in a state where I'm like a little kid, like I was when I was a little infant, depending on grown-ups for my survival. Well, I don't want to live that way. That is so not fun. It causes me to resent other people. It causes my own self-esteem to go way down. And I never make much money that way. So I want to look at it in the true value way of how people make money, really in quantum leaps. And that is when they get their own power, when they really see that I'm the boss of me. Even if I work for another person or another company, I'm the boss. I'm the CEO of my life. And that power is inside of me. And rather than who's going to give me a job, if I sit with a client who's just lost his job, I want to ask, what do you want to create? What would you like to create right now? What kind of plan? What's your action plan? How many people do you want to talk to? What kind of company would you really love to work for? What kind of work would you like to do? What are you good at? What can you offer? What are your skills right now that could really help someone? And what are the possibilities of starting your own at-home business? So I want to look at everything. But all the things I want to look at are a reflection of the fact that motivation comes from the inside. And if I'm going to get another job, it isn't someone giving me a job. It's me creating that opportunity for myself. I want to create employment for myself because that returns the power to me, and it makes it a whole lot more fun than believing that someone out there has to give me something. One of the things I've experienced over the many, many years I've coached people and worked with so many successful people, this has been 20 or 30 years now of doing this, is that people who have earned and created and produced, notice those words, earned, created, and produced large amounts of money, great riches, good income, prosperity, financial security, are very happy with their careers. They're very happy. Now, people with unearned money, somehow, who don't feel like it was produced or earned through service or great products, are very uneasy, very unhappy, even though the money is sitting there. Other people think, well, if I had their money, I'd be happy. Now, here's what's so important. It's not the money. It's your ability to create it that has you glowing, feeling good, feeling happy. It's not the money. It's not the Mercedes you're driving that has you be happy. Someone just gives you one. You're going to feel uneasy after a while. It's not the money. It's the fact that you know how to create it for yourself. It's the knowledge that if you were dropped in another city with a new name and had to start over, you could create whatever you wanted, whatever level of wealth you wanted. And you know that. And that's the smile on the face of the woman driving the Mercedes. That's why in so many instances, family members of the person who makes the money, let's say the woman makes tremendous amount of money and the husband does not, and the kids don't, and so the family members of the person who has earned the money often have huge problems, addiction problems, self-esteem problems, and everybody wonders why. Why do we read about the children of wealthy people being in such desperate problems? I mean, they are stuck inside their problems. They have addiction problems. They have crime problems. They're on their fourth marriage. They're absolutely miserable. Yet all this money is around. They've got cars. They've got servants. And they're just totally miserable. There's no meaning for their existence. They don't have any sense of accomplishment or achievement because, of course, they've never learned what it takes to make the money, and that's the real joy. So it really isn't the money. Don't focus on the money. Focus on the work. Don't focus on the money. Focus on the practices that provide the money. And just let the money be the score. Like, how am I doing? Check your bank account. How many people have I served? Check your bank account. Let money be a reflection as opposed to the final goal. Just like a team in a game, they don't try to decide ahead of time how many points they're going to score. They don't focus on 50 points as a football team. They focus on the next play. How are we going to play? What kind of energy are we going to bring? What kind of focus are we going to bring to the game? What kind of intensity? What kind of creativity on the run? And that's their focus. And then the score is a reflection of how they play. But they focus on the playing when they're winners. They focus on the next play. Vince Lombardi used to give a talk to his team in football. And what he would say is, you never know which play is going to decide this game. But most football games are decided by just two or three plays. Out of the many, many, many plays in the game, two or three make the difference of the whole game. And you never know which play it's going to be when you're out there on the field. You never know if that next play you're going to play is going to be the play that turns the ball over, that changes the whole tempo of the game, shifts the momentum, and causes you to win. So you need to play each play as if that could be the play that turns the whole game around, because you just don't know. It very well could be. And you can make it that play by the way you play it. The same thing is true with making money. If I can stay in my day and who I can serve today and all the wonderful things I can learn to do through practice, I get better and better and better at what I do, and my ability to earn money grows and grows. And then the bank account is a reflection of what I'm learning how to do. My skill, my strength, my ability to focus, and especially my ability to serve. So it isn't the money, it's what you learn to do to make the money that creates that wonderful feeling and that wonderful glow that people have when they finally get, I know how to do this, I know how to serve, I know how to take care of myself, I know how to be an adult and provide for my family or for myself. I know how to create security in the moment. Now, how do you stay motivated? How do you keep your level of motivation high so that you can continuously create the action that produces wealth? I mean, there's certain things you do that have high return and there's certain things you do that have low return. I want to be awake to which is which. And how do I stay motivated? Let's say I began the day motivated, but I'm feeling my mood kind of slowing down and I've hit a wall. And I think what's so important is the story. What story am I believing that has me really slowed down and discouraged? Because these stories, somebody calls and tells me the market isn't very good. Somebody calls and says they really don't want to do business with me. They've changed their mind. And all of a sudden, I find that my thoughts are going downhill. And I'm thinking, oh no, this is not good news. I'm going to have a bad month now, maybe even a bad year. And one thought breeds another, another, another. And this is a story I'm now believing. So I'm like a little child sitting around the campfire, and I'm also the adult telling the child a scary story. So if I want the child to get back up and run out into the woods and start playing again, which produces wealth, then I want to tell the child a different story. I don't want to just believe everybody else's gloomy, pessimistic, negative story and just believe it. I want to see all there is story as far as thinking. And I want to create a story that says I can really help people. I can think outside the box. All growth takes place outside my comfort zone. I've been comfortable all day. What can I do that's exciting? How do I astonish a customer? What can I do right now that would be really extraordinary? And all of a sudden, I'm telling stories that have me start to create and think out of the box and do wonderful things. And these new stories that have me be the superhero inside the story are just for fun. They're not a true reflection of life. They don't have to be true in the way we think gravity is really a true thing. Stories are stories, and how am I going to use my story to jumpstart my metabolism and get myself going? And pretty soon, people become skillful. Just like when you go on a trip and you're camping, some people become really skillful at telling ghost stories. Other people are not. You can become skillful at bringing the stories back in that motivate you. Stories are key. Here's something that's really important to see. Motivation isn't something I have to go find. Motivation isn't something that has to be brought to me from outside of me. Motivation is already there. Motivation is really who I am already. So, for example, I'm a verb. I am motivation. That's who I am. And the only way I could not be motivated would be if I put something in the way of my motivation. If I let some belief or thought feel true to me that would cloud my motivation or stop my motivation. But if I'm not willing to let that happen, then motivation is a simple expression of who I am. So, in a way, we're all motivated to make good money, to have a good living, to produce a livelihood. The motivation is already there. And when I meet with a client who says, I'm not motivated, I want to find out, how have you talked yourself out of it? What have you put in the way of your natural motivation? Because if you look at little kids, they don't have to read a book in the morning to motivate themselves to run out and play with the other kids. They don't have to get themselves psyched. They don't have to go through a ritual to talk themselves into wanting to live. I mean, I have a lot of people ask me, hey, Steve, what's your morning ritual? What do you do to get yourself up for the day? And the real question would be, what is it I would do that would have me not be up for the day? Because your natural state is motivation. That's who you really are when nothing's in the way. And watch children, they run, they play, they jump, they create, they laugh, they cry. So the motivation isn't a problem for the child because it's so natural to them. And then as the years go by, they talk themselves out of it. They believe all these stories that they need to be significant and they need to be approved of and people need to like them. And all of a sudden, it's very hard for them to motivate themselves because the motivation's been covered up with all these doubts and fears and cautions and threats and worries. The motivation is buried inside that huge belief system that I need to look good. I need to come across as someone who's really approved of. And all that stuff is what gets in the way of motivation. But if you could get it, that motivation is really who you are, then there wouldn't be such a struggle to find it or create it. So just think in terms of you are not a noun, you're not a thing, you're energy, you're a verb. You are a human being doing, laughing, singing, jumping, dancing, serving, building, running. That's who you are. You're not a lump of something. You're not just some clay sitting there waiting to be molded by outside circumstance. Now, when you die, that's when that happens. They put you in the ground and join all the other clay, depending on your religious beliefs. But while you're here on the earth, you're a verb. You are motivation. That's who you are. That's your essence. All that dancing energy is you. And so where do you want to direct it? Where would you like to put it? How about to high return service and production of things that people want? That creates wealth.